Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 706, Halloween Flights, recorded live on October 31st, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
Welcome to Halloween.
It's October 31st, as the day we're recording this, and that's why it's a little spooky tonight.
Dang, actually, I should have my Vincent Price laugh ready.
So ever since the month started, whenever I go for a run, I have Thriller playing, so I've been hearing him all the time. And for those that are on the live stream, if I turn off my light here, it's orange. I have orange lights overhead.
Because?
Just because it's Halloween, and I have smart light bulbs, and I can change my colors. So yeah, there you go.
Why do I see a face palm coming from the other side of the room?
She laughed. She loves it.
Like, I married this guy?
She likes every single part of it. So, we have a community spotlight to go over that just literally got released as we started recording. So, we have that. We also have the MCC PC flight is actually here and out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Both of us have been playing a little bit. We'll talk about it a little bit more later. We also have some streams to cover. And since it took me a long time to edit last week's podcast, we did not come up with a show topic. But we have one for next week. And then we have a couple other podcasts lined up for the following weeks. So we've got a packed November so far. So we'll see how that goes. First up, let's check a little trip down memory lane with the streams that we did. I was not there on Friday for the first time in a while, actually. So, how did Friday go, GT?
Friday went well. We actually spent some time in Warzone, and we had a lot of fun. We did some Super Fiesta. Unfortunately, we outgrew the smaller list pretty quick, so... I might, if people want to start doing the smaller, or, you know, like the 4v4 list, we may have to start doing rotating lobbies.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, no, it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed it a lot. Looking forward to doing it again tomorrow.
Very nice. Hope to make it a little bit tomorrow. We'll see how schedule's playing out. As for me, on Sunday, hopped over onto Halo Wars 2, back with Bobby. We'll probably pull Laird in for a couple of achievements, but for now, we're trying to go back through the leader-specific achievements that we started on, and then stopped whenever I started working on the Halo Wars achievements. Managed to get two, should have gotten the third. Either that one's bugged, or have to just wait for it to unlock or something like that. But the two that did unlock were... Hunter Hunted, which is using the Hunter Captain's taunt ability 50 times, and Overkill, which is destroyed 500 units with leader powers.
Cool.
And that's all in Halo Wars 2. And then the other one that I should have got was playing or winning three matches with Jerome. But for some reason, it didn't pop. It still says I only have two matches complete. So, we'll try again next week and keep going from there. I've got most of the leader achievements, all of the Blitz achievements, and a few of the campaign objective achievements to do. And that's the bulk of the achievements I need to complete for Halo Wars 2. So we'll see how that goes. Moving on into some playlist updates. What we got coming up for Halo 5, GT?
Well, as of today, Castle Wars rotates in for Halo 2 BR Slayer. On November 5th, Snipers rotates in into the ranked playlist for November. On November 7th, Triple Team rotates in for Roaming King. November 14th, CE Anniversary Throwback rotates in for Castle Wars. And also that weekend, Warzone Assault goes live for the weekend.
Woot.
On the 21st of November, we have Forerunner Slayer rotates in for Triple Team. I think that'll delay that because I think I'd rather play Triple Team than Forerunner Slayer over Thanksgiving. And then on the 26th, Action Sack rotates in for CE Anniversary Throwback. And also Warzone Turbo goes live. And on December 3rd, the Winter 2020 Arisen season begins.
So I wonder if that's supposed to be November 28th. And this was a copy-paste from the update last week. But the 26th is a Tuesday. So I'm guessing it's supposed to be the 28th. I did not catch that before.
No, because November 28th is a Thursday.
Right, and these normally drop on Thursday.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, that's right. Never mind. Well, they said then the November 5th one is wrong, too. That must be a 7th.
Well, that's a ranked playlist.
Yeah, but why would they do the change on the Tuesday instead of on the Thursday? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, you're probably right. That 26th probably should be the 28th.
That's just what I'm guessing. The ranked playlists have updated, not necessarily on Thursdays before.
But also maybe they're wanting to, maybe they're doing it early too this month.
Could be.
You don't know. We haven't seen what December's list looks like either. They generally don't do a lot for December because of the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And then what we have going on in MCC?
Let's see. For MCC, we get Rocket Race in Action Sack.
Yes.
Halo 2 anniversary maps include Speed Zabar. Interesting. Stonetown.
Speed Zabar is a variant of Stonetown.
Yeah. Speed Zabar is on Stonetown. Then you have Speed Line, which is on Bloodline. And Speedient on Remnant.
Speednant.
Speednant.
Yeah.
On H3, the maps include Isolation Speed, Sand Trap Speed, Valhalla Speed, Rat's Nest Speed, Standoff Speed, and Avalanche Speed. And it'd also be the... today is the last day for the infection... MCC infection nameplate.
So if you're listening to this download... Sorry, it's already too late.
You're too late. But if you are currently actively listening, jump into MCC if you want your nameplate and get your 10 matches in.
Yep. All right. Thanks for the updates on that one. I think Castle Wars might be a popular one tomorrow.
Might be.
Usually is for our group.
Of course, there may be some contributing factors into doing something else.
This is true as well.
Maybe.
We'll get to that. Actually, we're going to get to that right now because the next article up is the October MCC update. Postums like to post this on the very last day of every single month, and as tradition goes, we have it today. We mentioned last week that there was a tweet put out by Sketch kind of hinting at the possibility of a flight coming out soon. And it so happens that on Tuesday, they were able to start the next flight for Reach, which is on PC and includes campaign, firefight, and multiplayer PvP. We went over all of the playlist and content that was going to be available last week, but we'll go ahead and just recap it for those who might need a little bit of a refresher. So for the campaign missions, they will have Noble Actual and Winter Contingency. In firefight matchmaking, for four-player heroic firefight, they're going to have Beachhead Corvette and Holdout. And then for four-player normal arcade firefight will be Beachhead Corvette and Holdout. On the PvP matchmaking side of things, there's going to be 2v2 social, 44 Social, AVA Social, Halo Reach Team Hardcore, and Halo Reach Invasion. For the 2v2 Social, this is going to be game type variants of Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, and Asset Denial. And this will be on Countdown, Powerhouse, and Zealot with the title update settings. For the 4v4 Social, it's going to be Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, SWAT, and Snipers. These will be on the maps Countdown, Powerhouse, Zealot, and Tempest using the title update settings. For 8v8 Social, this is going to be Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, and Snipers on the maps Tempest, Breakpoint, and Ridgeline with the title update settings. Halo Reach Team Hardcore is going to be Slayer and Capture the Flag on Countdown and Zealot using the Hardcore Zero Bloom No Sprint based off of the MLG Variant 7 settings. And then for Halo Reach Invasion, this is going to be on the map Breakpoint using Vanilla Reach settings. For those that have been invited to this flight, this is the flight schedule that will be taking place. On October 29th, which was 2 days ago, on the Tuesday, from 5 to 9. Well, actually, let me start off with saying all the flights are either 10 to 1 p.m., 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time, or 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So I'm going to refer to those as midday and evening. So Tuesday evening, which was October 29th, was 4v4 Team Hardcore. And then Firefight was Arcade. Yesterday, which was Wednesday, was 8v8 Team Hardcore. For competitive, our social was 8v8, competitive was Team Hardcore, Firefight was Heroic. On today, which is October 31st, it's 4v4 for social, Team Hardcore for competitive, and Arcade for Firefight. Starting off tomorrow, which is November 1st, we have for social 2v2, for competitive Invasion, and for Firefight Arcade. On Saturday, November 2nd, is going to be Social 4v4, Competitive Team Hardcore, Firefight will be Arcade. November 3rd, Social will be 8v8, Competitive will be Team Hardcore, Firefight will be Heroic. November 4th will be Social 4v4, Competitive Team Hardcore, Firefight Arcade. And to round it out, on November 5th, which will be Tuesday of next week, Social will be 8v8, Competitive will be Team Hardcore, Firefight will be Heroic, and that will be the last flight being of midday on November 5th.
And after 1 p.m. Pacific time that day, it'll be sad because Reach will go away.
Hopefully for not too long.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. By the way the rest of this article is written, it kind of indicates that there's not a lot more to do after this flight's done. We'll see. We wait with bated breath.
I can tell you there's some stuff that still needs to be worked on.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of bugs. Not just the ones that you've mentioned either.
Well,
would you like to tell the listeners about what you found already?
Well, let me start off with most of the bugs that I've found so far are not game breaking. They can be a little irritating, but not game-breaking. I've had some problem with shot registration, but it hadn't been bad. It's definitely been worse in Halo's history. But yesterday, now, this could be just on the server side, and they may have already addressed this, so take this with a grain of salt. Yesterday, I was having a real hard time completing a game. I would get halfway through the game or so, well into the game, maybe not exactly halfway, but well into the game, and the game itself would freeze.
Yikes.
And it was interesting. I've never had a game freeze like this before. I couldn't access any menu items. You know, I couldn't go in and check the score, couldn't go in and change my controller settings, couldn't, you know, escape out of the game, anything. It was locked up mostly. The weird thing is like on maps that have like trees or clouds in the sky, they were still animated. So the game was still running, but it was locked up.
Soft lock.
you know, it's like I wasn't getting information from the servers as to where I should be. It was just really interesting. I did have one other problem where the game did that same lockup in the loading screen. You know, as it's loading up, I was talking with people on my team.
Oh, geez. And,
you know, the voice communication was working, you know, everything, but I couldn't load into the game. I literally sat through about half the game waiting for this thing to load. They're playing the game. I'm talking to a dude that's playing the game. And I'm like, dude, am I even on the map? And he's like, no. You know, he literally looked at it, all the players, and nope, I wasn't on the map anywhere. So I never loaded into the game. Tonight was much better. Like I said, I don't know if they did change something on the server side or if it was the fact that it was smaller lobbies. Because last night I was playing big team, tonight doing 4v4. So, you know, there was pretty significant change in lobby sizes. But the problem was, I actually also had the problem in campaign because apparently they had the ban hammer out. Yes, or they have the ban hammer out. So if you quit, you get banned for 10 minutes. Well, my game was locked up. I had no choice but to quit. So I decided I'd just go in and play campaign while, you know, I kill the 10 minutes. So I didn't have to just sit there for 10 minutes. And I get
temp banned.
I get going through the campaign and all of a sudden it kicks me. It just stops.
Oh, so you actually got into campaign and then what?
Yeah, the campaign level stopped and the same thing happened. The trees and stuff were still animated, but I couldn't move, couldn't access any menus, nothing. It was interesting. Like I said, I've never had a game do that. Usually when they lock up, it's everything. You know, the scenery stops moving, everything. I've even had weird audio glitches happen when a game freezes. You know, especially if you're operating a vehicle or if you happen to be shooting, you know, a loud weapon right as it locks up. Or, you know, there happens to be an explosion right when it locks up.
Do you have any inkling on what triggers it?
No, I have not been able to narrow down what does it, because it just happens.
Huh.
And, you know, I don't really know if it was something with my system or if it was something with the game. You know, I don't think it was my system because the only thing that was being affected was the game.
Right.
But we are talking about Windows here, so you have to take that with a grain of salt. But all in all, I mean, I've been really impressed with it. I tell you what, Reach looks really good at 250 frames.
250? I should turn off VSync and see how it looks.
Yeah, with VSync on, the most it'll run at on my machine is 60. But yeah. I turned VSync off, and yeah, like tonight, it was running between 230 and 250 frames. Which, you know, my monitor can't display that. Well, a true 250 frames. The max it'll do is 144. But still, it looked really good. You know, it's really smooth. It was a lot of fun. Although tonight I had to put the keyboard and mouse down and go back to controller. I couldn't hit the broadside of the barn with an elephant.
That was me on Tuesday. I'd like to practice to get better, but at the same time, it's like, okay, I need to, like, I don't want to bring my teammates down too much while I work on practicing. So maybe you should just practice in customs or campaign.
Well, you know, for the past couple of months, well, longer than that, I've been using keyboard and mouse to play Destiny to try to get myself used to using keyboard and mouse. And in a competitive situation like multiplayer, my brain goes into seizures or something. I don't know what it is. I just, A and B don't match. It doesn't seem like I can get the coordination between my right and left hands. But I go to a controller and then I do better. You know, I'm not going to say that I'm an expert controller player, but, you know, it's, for me, it's much easier. But I've been given keyboard and mouse a real serious try, and I get the appeal of it. It's just something that doesn't really work for me.
All right.
So usually, well, what I've been doing is when I get into a competitive environment like multiplayer, I will go ahead and pick up my controller and use it.
I think that's probably what I'll end up doing with mine.
Because it's predictable. It, you know, I know what I need to do with it.
Yeah.
And using keyboard and mouse, it's just too foreign for me to pick up for as long as I've been a controller gamer. And I, you know, I don't adapt very well. I'm actually surprised I do as well as I do with keyboard and mouse.
I've been playing Borderlands with some coworkers, so I've been trying to get a little bit better at the mouse and keyboard stuff, but when I hopped into Reach on Tuesday on PC, it was not the same.
I tell you what, there's some people out there that are they're gods with a keyboard and mouse. Because they were three-tapping me with a freaking DMR from across the map.
I believe it.
I can't even hit them once. They've already killed me.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I get the reason why people like it, but, man, I just can't. It's hard for me to adjust to it. You know, playing campaign or something like that, I'm fine. But when it comes to an actual, you know, match-made game, I'm nowhere near good enough. In my eyes, at least.
I'd like to get better. It's just taking the time to do it. So we'll see. It might take me a while before I truly try to play consistently with a mouse and keyboard on PC.
Yeah, for the most part, like, you know, like I said, when I'm just goofing around in PvE, I'll use the mouse and keyboard. But if I'm doing any PvP, I pick up the controller. It makes it much more enjoyable for me.
Makes sense. All right. Moving on. I guess just to say, I haven't run into any issues like that yet. But there's a long weekend ahead, so we'll see. And by long weekend, I mean daylight savings time changes back in the U.S.
Yes.
That's going to be fun. By fun, I mean interesting. They have a little chart regarding how cross-play and cross-progression is going to be synced across profiles. They have a nice little Excel table here, and I'll try to kind of brief this in some way or form that this makes sense in audio-only format. There's different things that will sync across Xbox One, Windows Store version, and Steam versions of the games. That includes mission completion in campaign, playlist completion, leaderboards, career stats, medal chest, achievements, and account level and rank. There's some other things that will not sync across platforms at all. That is mid-mission checkpoints. That is for the Xbox One and Windows Store. So if you have a mid-mission checkpoint on one Xbox console and you go to another Xbox console or Windows Store, then that doesn't, you can't get that mid-mission checkpoint on that console. And that is for just normal campaign or playlist. On the Steam side, however, because Steam stores its game saves a little bit differently, there are some special cases there where for Steam, it will actually save your mid-mission checkpoints and sync that across your Steam profiles. So if you're playing Assault in the Control Room for some reason, you got to the first big open canyon space and you had a save there, you could log into Steam on another computer, you would get that same mid checkpoint save. So on Steam, it works across different Steam logins, but it will not sync across to Xbox or Windows, and then between Xbox or Windows versions, it will not sync those mid-game checkpoints there either.
That's actually interesting, because that probably means they're storing that data locally.
So that's being stored in the Steam cloud.
No, not Steam, Windows.
Oh.
The Xbox and the Windows version.
Yes.
It sounds like they're actually going to be stored locally.
Yes. Yeah. And then partial playlist completion is another little interesting area there, too. They're not represented between Steam and Xbox.
It's probably one of those where it is stored on a cloud, but you have to go from like Xbox to Xbox to access it, or Windows PC to Windows PC to access it.
Yeah, this one doesn't exactly have the best clarification description. It says playlists with partial mission progress are not represented between Steam and Xbox. So I'm guessing between Xbox and Windows, say if you have a playlist with 4 out of 6 missions completed, it's not going to show up on Steam, but it will show up on Windows if you start it on Xbox.
It looks like playlist completions will save across all three.
Yeah, I mentioned that. The only other thing I hadn't mentioned was down here, the Reach customization unlocks and the player ID unlocks. All those unlocks will sync across the Xbox Live profile, but you may have to re-equip certain things that you've unlocked on the different platforms. So say on Xbox, you've unlocked the CQB helmet, you've equipped it on Xbox, it'll show unlocked on Windows and Steam, but you have to go and reapply it. So that's most of the crossplay taken care of there, and how progression is synced across. Again, there's an Excel table that they've taken a screenshot of and posted in the update. If any of that was confusing, I recommend you go check it out and get a little bit more detail there. As for matchmaking playlists that they plan to have at the beginning of Reach's launch, here's what we are looking at. For 1v1, it's going to be Slayer. The maps are going to be Countdown, Zealot, and Forge World. The two maps on Forge World being MLG Element and MLG Sanctuary. And the setting will be Hardcore, Zero Bloom, No Sprint. For 2v2 matchmaking, it's going to be game categories Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial. And the maps are going to be Countdown, Powerhouse, Reflection, Anchor 9, Battle Canyon, Solitary, and Forge World, with the Forge World maps being Asylum and Select. And these will be using the title update settings. For V4 matchmaking, game categories will be Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, SWAT, Snipers, and Griff Ball. Maps will be Boardwalk, Countdown, Powerhouse, Reflection, Sword Base, Zealot, Anchor 9, Tempest, Condemned, Battle Canyon, Penance, Solitary, High Noon, and various maps on Forge World. The settings will be the title update, the exception of Griffball, which will be Vanilla. For 8-player FFA, game categories will be Slayer, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, SWAT, and Snipers. Maps will be Boardwalk, Countdown, Powerhouse, Reflection, Sword Base, Zealot, Anchor 9, Condemned, Battle Canyon, Penance, Solitary, High Noon, and various maps on Forge World, using the title update settings. For 12-player FFA...
Infection.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait a second. 12-player FFA? And yeah, Infection. The maps will be Boardwalk, Countdown, Powerhouse, Reflection, Sword Base, Zealot, Anchor 9, Condemned, Penance, Solitary, and Breakneck. Settings will be Vanilla. For AV8 matchmaking, game categories will be Slayer, Flag and Bomb, Zone Control, Asset Denial, Action Sack, and Snipers. The maps will be Boardwalk, Boneyard, Spire, Breakpoint, Tempest, Highlands, Ridgeline, High Noon, Breakneck, and various maps on Forge World with the title update settings. You want to take competitive games in Firefight?
Sure. In Team Hardcore, game variants will be Hardcore Slayer, Hardcore CTF3, Hardcore CTF5, and Hardcore King. Maps are going to be on Countdown, Zealot, Battle Canyon, Penance, Forge World, MLG Sanctuary, MLG Pit, and MLG Nexus. Settings are going to be Hardcore, Zero Bloom, No Sprint. For Invasion, we're going to have the maps Boneyard, Spire, Breakpoint, and Forge World, which will be Broadcast, Floodgate, Overgrowth, and Refinery, and those will be vanilla settings. For Firefight, game variants, we're going to have Firefight Limited and Generator Defense Limited.
Ooh.
Match maps Beachhead, Corvette, Courtyard, Glacier, Holdout, Outpost, Overlook, Waterfront, Unearth, and Installation 04. Well, why didn't they leave? Never mind. Firefight Arcade. It's going to have Arcade Fight, Fiesta Fight, Fist Fight, FRG Fight, Nade Fight, Plasma Fight, Rocket Fight, and Sniper Fight. Maps are... Let's fight!
Oh, a lot of fighting.
Maps are going to be Beachhead, Corvette, Courtyard, Glacier, Holdout, Outpost, Overlook, Waterfront, Unearth, and Installation 04. And why in the world are we not getting the very first invasion map? Boneyard.
It is in there. It's the very first one on the list.
I blanked it. I forgot I switched to Firefight. Blonde moment. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. We all have them.
And of course, they have their disclaimer stating that the matchmaking settings are subject to change between now and launch.
Of course they are. So remember all that content that they saved a while ago? Well, they go into a little more detail on how you're going to access it. And it also sounds like how they worded this blog entry specifically, that all content for Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4 will drop when Reach drops for PC. Sounds like it. Anyway, with that said, this is a little bit of a rehash on what they've already stated before, but we might as well go ahead and mention it again since they bring it up. For all of the Xbox 360 maps and modes that were copied, they will be in your file share. It will be accessible to both PC and Xbox whenever you launch those titles, those respective titles. For any maps that are not in your file share, so any local maps or modes or anything that's saved privately on your MCC, on your Xbox, you're going to have to launch that Xbox, update that Xbox with the latest MCC update, and then add those files to your file share. Once that's done, then those files will be accessible on other platforms.
I want to know how many custom games I'll be able to have.
They still haven't really talked about that too much.
And I want to know if I'm going to be able to browse other games.
These are the important questions.
Don't get me wrong. I'm glad they're doing all this. And I'm very happy that they took the time to convert all these maps. And they took the time to build the tools to convert these maps. But I want to know how many maps I'm going to be able to store. And I want to know if there's going to be a way for me to browse and find new maps.
That'd be nice.
Because if I can only store 50 maps and game types, it's pointless.
Yeah. I can't see them not addressing that, because there's way too many files to bring in anyways. If you transferred the maximum 25 maps and 25 game modes, you're looking at least 150 files that one person could copy over. So they're going to have to expand it anyways.
I mean, you know, there's 6.6 million different maps out there. 2.6 million game types. No, I don't want to be able to store them all. But there are several popular ones out there that I would really like to be able to pick up, because I only had so many slots that I could pick up, you know, that I could put on my file share. And in the case of some of it, I couldn't even put it on my file share because it wasn't technically my map.
Yeah. So I'm doing some quick storage calculations, because I'm kind of curious. Most game types in Reach were about 89 kilobits or kilobytes, I think, whenever you would look it up on the file browser. So that is 220 gigs worth of game types, worth of game modes. Now, I forget how big maps were, but if you did that to... Yeah, I forget how big maps were. They weren't... I know they were at least a couple of megs, depending on, for Reach, how much stuff that you crammed in Forge.
But all in all, they weren't that big. They, in the comparative size of files these days, they weren't that big.
No.
I mean, you know, I've got image files on my Xbox that are bigger than most of those maps.
Yeah. That's so, if you were to say each map was about 2.2 megs for 6.6 million files, that's almost 14 terabytes of map data. So you're looking at least maybe 15 terabytes, if not more, storage space of a whole content that was uploaded to file shares.
Yeah. I just want to be able to browse this because I want to be able to go through and find game types that I was unable to upload and be able to add them to my own library.
Anyways, another note about files that are currently in the MCC file share. If you want those to be accessible on PC, then you're going to have to launch MCC, pull down the title update, and then that will force an update on those files in the file share to get moved over. It's almost, it seems like they almost have one, the like the legacy file share, and there's going to be a new file share, and you have to update the Xbox MCC version to kind of migrate those files into the new file share. That's kind of the sense that I get from this. So that's how it's going to go down for the migration of files. Basically, if you have anything on your Xbox, either if it's file share or private stuff, make sure you update your MCC when it drops, when the update drops, and then anything that got transitioned will be available for you natively on PC whenever Reach 3 and 4 drop for MCC. They do have a little section in here about customization and progression for those that have or that are subscribed to some of the YouTubers. They've already gone through and done the full breakdown of customization and progression in the game, but it basically turns out to be a kind of XP-based unlock system. So you go through and you get different unlocks for how much XP that you get, and it looks like once you finish the season, you just kind of go into the next season. It doesn't look like there's any hard cap on that right now, but depending on which part of the season you're in and which rewards are up next, you can unlock helmets, shoulders, chest pieces, wrist pieces, utilities, visor colors, knee guards, and armor effects. So pretty much everything that was available in the Reach customization.
Sorry, I just was looking at the screenshots of the tier screens.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of them, at tier 25, you unlock armor effect, birthday party. And I was just reading the description. Your death is softened by the joyful noise, by a joyful noise and confetti.
I think that was the one I had equipped in Reach and probably still do.
Yeah.
It's a fun one.
Yeah, I either had that or I had hearts. I don't remember which.
Oh, the bungee hearts? There was one other one I think that you could have.
Actually, there was two other ones. You have pestilence or the lightning one.
But that was active while you were alive. Like, you could still have the birthday party. I think you have the birthday party armor effect even outside. Maybe not. Maybe not. It's been a while. Yes.
I just love the way they described that. That's just kind of neat.
Your death is softened by a joyful noise and confetti. There's some new settings that they go over that will be included in Reach. For accessibility, there's going to be speech-to-text dictation for text chat and text-to-speech narration for text chat. For gamepad controls, they're adding jumper-jumper. And then they are adding, so that's everything that they're adding for both PC and Xbox. For all the PC-specific stuff, for, I almost missed one. Under accessibility, they have enhancements to HUD to support ultra-wide monitors. So that's the part where they said you could either have the UI elements either kind of traditional, or you can have them closer to the edge of the monitor. For the settings and options, there are key bindings for keyboard and mouse. For mouse controls, they have separate settings for mouse sensitivity, zoomed mouse sensitivity, vehicle mouse sensitivity, mouse acceleration, minimum acceleration rate, maximum acceleration rate, acceleration scale, acceleration power, mouse smoothing. So you can customize however the heck you want with your mouse.
I actually appreciate that because right now, the way I have my mouse set up, I have different DPI settings for doing the, you know, the zoomed and, you know, your standard sensitivity, your zoomed and your vehicle.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice that I can have those in the game and the game will automatically switch those as I do that. So I don't have to, you know, I don't have to zoom in and then change my DPI.
That's actually very nifty. I haven't seen another game that actually has those specific settings where you can have a different sensitivity for when you're in a vehicle or a different sensitivity for when you're zoomed in with a weapon. So that's actually a very interesting addition. On video settings for PC, they have field of view, vehicle field of view, windowed mode, resolution scale, and aspect ratio. Those are specifically for windowed mode. VSync option, and then the HUD anchoring. And I believe the HUD anchoring is if you anchor the HUD either in the traditional 16:9 size or all the way out to the edges of different monitor widths. They have some experimental settings for frame rate limit. And then they have some graphics quality settings that you can set. Audio settings to include game volume, game music volume, effects volume, and voice chat volume. And then for gameplay, they have crosshair position, so either classic or centered, and then the ability to either show or hide invite notifications.
I tell you what, I appreciate the sound settings.
That's pretty much standard for any PC FPS.
Well, I mean, I've noticed that those are starting to show up in console games too.
True.
But I really appreciate being able to turn down the in-game music because there are points where sometimes the in-game music gets so loud that you can't hear the in-game voices. Or in the case of Halo 4, when you get close to the end of a match, the music gets louder.
Yeah. That's annoying.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. The Halo game's got some great music in it, but there are times when I don't want to hear the music. Or I don't want it to be that loud. I mean, I understand they're using it to set the mood and the pace of the game, but sometimes I just want to hear footsteps.
Well, it's one thing when it's in campaign. It's another thing when it's in multiplayer. And then to wrap up this article, they have minimum specs for PC. They do not have integrated graphics included in this spec for the moment, but they do plan to include it. So they have a bare minimum spec for AMD and NVIDIA builds. So for AMD minimum requirements, the CPU is going to be an AMD Phenom 2 X4 960T. GPU is AMD HD 6850, 8 gigs of RAM, and then average frame rate is 51 to 55 off of that spec. Minimum spec for NVIDIA is for the CPU, it's an Intel i3550. NVIDIA GPU is the GeForce GTS 450, 8 gigs of RAM, and average frame rate is going to be 52 to 54 frames. Minimum requirements for 1080 on the AMD side, AMD FX 4100 CPU, AMD Radeon R7360 GPU, and I guess just to round it off, 8 gigs of RAM minimum requirement across the board. Average frame rate for that one is going to be 61 to 62 frames. And then minimum requirements for NVIDIA for 1080p. An Intel i7-870. GPU is going to be an NVIDIA GTX 560 Ti. And that's your average frame rate.
I don't think I've ever heard of an 870 Intel processor.
An i7-870? Apparently it's a thing. It's a 8 meg cache, 2.93 gigahertz processor.
I mean, it's not a processor that's, you know, but it's really talked about. I mean, you know, like the FX 4100, I've heard about that. The Phenom, I've heard about that. The, you know, i5-3450, I've heard of it. You know, nobody ever uses it. Or, you know, they never brag about it, at least. It just... So, according to this, my six-year-old computer should be able to play this game at 4K. If I had a 4K monitor.
Well, let's get to the 4K.
At 60 FPS.
Let's get to the 4K requirements. For AMD, it's the AMD FX 6350 CPU. It's the AMD Radeon 480 graphics card. Or GPU. For Intel, it's the Intel i5-3450 and the NVIDIA GTX 770. Which are some pretty old graphics cards.
Yeah, it's... according to what they've got there, you should be able to play it on a potato.
Integrated graphics is going to be the interesting one.
I mean, I've got, you know, my other computer, which the power supply died on tonight.
Yeah.
Everybody pray for my sanity before I start killing computers. Anyway.
You mean before you continue killing more computers?
All I did was turn the damn thing on. Anyway. It meets that minimum spec. Actually, it exceeds the minimum spec. It almost makes the 1080 spec. And that's a $400 computer with a $200 graphics card in it.
The whole computer binds the graphics card $200.
That is... Well, the graphics card is... Let's see... Yeah, the graphics card 6 years old. The computer itself is 10. No. It's like 7 or 8 years old. It's still an 1150 socket. So, yeah. Yeah, both my computers are right about the same age. Or my desktops, at least. That's just wild. I'm amazed at the specs that this game requires. And that's with all the enhancements.
Yeah.
Now, compare this to an Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Wow.
Certainly. Crazy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think my MacBook Pro that I just bought, that's a 2012 MacBook Pro, can run this.
Probably. Easily.
Like I said before, they don't have the integrated graphics versions of this up yet, but they will at some point. And again, these are all minimum specs to run at 720p, 1080p, and then 4K, trying to target that 60 frame rate. So yeah, give it a read. Lots of good information of hopefully something that will be out pretty soon.
Hopefully.
We've got one last thing to cover for you tonight, and that happens to be the community spotlight that came out right as we started recording. And I still haven't fixed the scene for the live viewers, but... Here we go. Ta-da! Oops. Wrong one. There we go.
We'll barrel through it anyway.
Yes. Pretty much. We have the first up piece here is from the 343 Publishing Team Art Director, Horia Dosiu. I am probably butchering the heck out of that name, so my apologies. But they whipped up this piece of art specifically for Halloween, and it's Chief with some decorations, Cortana holding on to one of his armor pieces, and a pumpkin bucket with candy flying out of it, and he's being chased by Flood. It's a pretty cool art piece.
They even made a Flood doggy.
They did. Actually, no, that wouldn't, not even close to what it would sound like.
Be more like...
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Because this was posted right as we started recording, we have not watched any of this.
No. This literally went 6 minutes before we started.
So there is a cover of Misha Manzur's Follow from Halo 2. So it's a drum cover. I have no idea how it sounds, but I'm assuming since it's included in here, it's probably pretty good. So, might be worth checking out. And, of course, there's lots of art in here. There's lots of pen drawings because of Inktober. So, there's going to be lots of artwork throughout this community spotlight.
You got a really neat drawing a Battle Creek flood form.
Yes.
Or flood aesthetic.
Infected Battle Creek.
Yeah, infected Battle Creek.
That's they called word. They called it Beaver Creep. Creep. Beaver Creep. Got some cute little engineers.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a neat picture. Of course, the first thing pops in my head is two squid kissing. And for those of you that read First Strike, you'll know what I'm talking about.
We've got a couch co-op. This looks like a render.
It looks pretty cool. You got a grunt. Looks like Noble Six. Master Chief.
Looks like Halo 4 Chief.
Yeah, Halo 4 Chief. You got Arbiter.
Yep. Arbiter in the back. Noble Six.
Guilty Spark. A Flood Infection form.
A grunt.
And then you got an ODST off to one side snoozing.
That's the Rookie.
I don't remember the Rookie having a white stripe on his head. But that's could be who it is.
Maybe just a lighter stripe. I think these are just all like the mainline play people. And then you have some weapons that are scattered about. You have a Spartan laser and a Brute Plasma rifle on the couch. But it's a nice couch co-op.
Yeah. Somebody needs to teach them how to hold a controller, though. Gotta get the claw going. Oh.
They're Spartans. They don't need to use the claw. This is a really cool art piece of the Chief flying through one of the Covenant carriers.
Yeah. Right out of Halo 2's opening cinematic.
Not very first opening, but...
Not very first, but one of the cinematics. The end of Cario Station.
The most memorable cinematic. Well, one of the most memorable cinematics.
After one of the biggest pain-in-the-butt levels ever.
Yeah, talk about the most difficult opening campaign mission of any game ever. Especially on Legendary. And then we've got all the Halloween-inspired art. We've got trick-or-treating. We've got a grave mind artwork.
Somebody's done a Halo ring in Minecraft.
Mm-hmm. What else? We've got some stop motion, like figure picture stuff. Got some pictures of some mega constructs. And then here's all the ink. Inktober. Got a nice infection form. Got a Sergeant Johnson with a cigar. We've got Emil carrying a pumpkin saying trick or treat. And we've got Emil holding a elite head with a knife out saying trick or treat. 2-4 Emil. We've got a ghost. We've got a couple ghosts. Grunt. Master Chief. And it seems like the Infinite Master Chief in this one. This one, I'm guessing, is an ODST. Yep, ODST. Another ODST. Master Chief. Sitting down. This is a harken back to Halo 4. We've got kind of a cartoonish Master Chief drawing with a rocket launcher pointed at a flood infection form.
And you know this will go well.
Yep. Boom. Isn't there like a meme where you use the most explosive or most destructive thing just to get a fly or something like that? And the caption is, got him. That's exactly what this is portraying right here.
But anybody that knows anything about Halo physics, you get yourself, too.
Yep. That's the point. But you still got him. That's the point.
Nice drawing of Tartarus.
Yeah. With the Tartarus scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
Got some cosplay for Halloween. Got a Master Chief. Kind of looks like a papier-mâché-ish Master Chief. Still pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, you do it. You use what you got. This elite costume is pretty good.
Yeah, this Arbiter is actually pretty legit. You got Cortana and then the Flood. Another Flood carrier form.
Human combat form.
Let's see. More cosplay. Oh, there's a legit Chief one right there.
These guys are getting good at this stuff. I mean, really good.
Every year it gets better. Got some tattoos. Got some Forerunner
then you got
Glyph here.
Don't forget Mini Chief.
Oh, yep, Mini Chief. There's lots of Mini Chiefs.
Yep.
Got a Noble and a 117 tattoo. We've got some props. This is a 3D printed assault rifle. Got an Australian cosplayer here. This wood box art's really cool. And it has RBG backlights in that one, apparently. Got a Noble team, tattoo, and then our buddy Mr. Halo Art posted a whole myriad of pictures for Halloween. All done in Forge still, which is just incredible. And he has four different shots that he did.
How do you do this in Forge?
I don't know. If you listen to us, Mr. Halo Art, if you live stream, let us know, because I'd love to watch you actually make one of these in live time.
No kidding.
Because the way that you make, and he does these for every special occasion, every kind of holiday theme. He continues to do these, and they're incredible. Just for reference for people listening, there is a one with Frankenstein, and I don't know who that character is off the top of my head. This one right here.
This is Frankenstein.
No, yeah, well, the character on the right, but who's the character on the left?
You have Frankenstein and Mrs. Frankenstein.
Oh, that's what it's supposed to be. Okay.
Then below that, you have werewolf. Then below that, or next one down is a vampire or Dracula.
Yep.
Next one from there is a mummy.
Yeah.
And then we got some wicked shots of a jackal.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. Benefic Ben also has some. He has Halloween and very creepy flame-like text. How do you get that in Forge with the frickin' skull? Or is this still Forge? No, this has to be still Forge, isn't it? Maybe not.
I don't know.
It might not be.
They didn't say difference.
Might not be. Infection. Yeah, I don't think you can get that. So, yeah, these last four might not be Forge. But still, it looks really freaking cool. Holy crap, these pumpkins!
Uh-huh. We get to the pumpkin patch. We've got a grunt throwing a plasma grenade.
For those who can't see me on live stream and are listening, my jaw was just like open for a solid 10 seconds. Wow. That's insane. I like the simplicity of the Virgil one. That one's cute. That one's really cute. Oni?
Looks like the Oni emblem.
Mm-hmm.
They have the legendary emblem.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Master Chief is wicked.
Yeah.
There's some really talented people out here that just carve pumpkins.
That is a foam pumpkin. That's not a real pumpkin.
What?
This Master Chief one is a foam pumpkin. You can tell by how the light is reflecting off of the side. That's a foam pumpkin. I mean, it's legit, but that's a foam pumpkin.
You sure?
Yeah. I'm absolutely sure. The skin tone of this would not be that yellow. That's definitely foam. Still cool, but definitely foam. That one, however.
Got the Halo 3.
Has side profile. Not, well, angled profile of the helmet.
Oh, yeah. They've got Master Chief's helmet, and then below that, they've got the Halo 3 emblem.
Yep, the Halo 3 logo.
Logo.
Blue team.
Then we went real high tech here, 117.
Yep. Another blue team.
The actual emblem for blue team, or for the Spartan branch.
Another Master Chief.
Yeah, except for they used it. They actually turned the whole, it's not a carving of the helmet. They turn the pumpkin into the helmet.
Another Halo 3. Ooh, Emil. That's interesting. Oh, a little Covenant icon. I think, is that the one for Truth and Reconciliation or some other symbol?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
I like how they used a toothpick to float the other character, other parts of the character there. That's kind of cute.
We got Infinite Chief.
Yes. And that's it for the pumpkins. We got some more videos, none of which we've watched, so we'll skip over those.
90-second rules, and it's 13 minutes long. That's a lot of rules.
Huh.
New game type, Flame Wars. Looks like they basically put flamethrowers on the front of Warhogs.
A custom game. Oh my gosh. Huh. There's a Halo 3 MCC montage. Halo 5 infection montage, and another infection montage. And then we get down here to the tweets. There's someone making a quote-unquote grenade jumping demo in Unity for Halo. It looks like a cross between Minecraft style artwork and you can see some of the basic Unity building block stuff. Someone remade a vulture from scratch in Forge using Forge pieces. Someone took some little action figures with a pumpkin and made some nice little pictures. Got some popcorn.gif art. Some more cosplay pictures, artwork. Oh, an orange Cortana. That's interesting.
And with a witch's broom and hat.
And at the very end, Doodle Snickers, there's someone just dressed in all black and is carrying around a Halo ring. So they are the Halo ring. They have become Halo.
That, I have to admit, is a unique costume.
Yeah, it's clever. That'd be really cool if the outside was lit. Looks more like a Stargate.
Well, no, there's not the writing on the out, the on the face of the ring. And it's not flat enough.
King Kong's wedding ring. So that's it for the community spotlight. Lots of Halloween-themed stuff, of course. Lots of pumpkins, lots of...
Gee, I can't imagine why. It's Halloween.
We didn't have a topic for this week because of how long it took me to edit the show from last week, but that show is up and available if people want to go and check it out. Again, it is for the last episode that we have with DJ and John Friend regarding Outpost Discovery. We do have a couple of other podcasts getting lined up here. If you guys remember, there was a person that I met in Chicago who attempted to do the Pelican Run solo. Looks like we're going to try to get him on in a couple of weeks. And I've also reached out to a couple other people to see if they would be interested in coming on to do kind of a fan reaction to Outpost on the 14th as well. So hopefully that will be coming up. And then also working on scheduling these shows for my panels that I did in Outpost to have those folks on and do kind of one podcast edition of those. So those will be coming. But for next week, our topic is going to be: what advertisement and promotional campaigns would you like to see be done for Infinite? So just to give you an example of things that have been done, we had last year Hunt the Truth podcast. We had all of the advertisement that went along with that. Granted, it didn't really flow well with the actual story that was in the game, but it was still, for the ad campaign itself, it was really cool and really well done.
Yeah.
We've had the I Love Bees. We've had the Halo 3 ARG. We've had the short films that were part of the Halo 3 ad campaign, the diorama as well, all the Vidocs and all that kind of stuff. So based on what you've seen from Halo and what you've seen from other video game franchises, what kind of ways would you like to see Halo Infinite be hyped through promotional or advertisement campaigns? So that's going to be the topic that we're going to have for next week. And GT, since both you and I are in the Reach PC flight, we should probably tell everybody, at least for live, if you're listening to this, sorry, but what are we going to do for game night this week?
Well, it's really up to how many people want to do the Reach flight. Because I know some of the people that join us on Friday nights don't have computers capable of running it or may not be invited. But I would like to hear from our community as to how many people would be interested in playing the Reach flight instead of Halo 5.
I guess we can put out a poll.
And I guess we'll put out a poll and we'll make sure that it ends before the game night.
Yes.
So that we can have an answer.
That works.
So, you know, it's totally up to you guys, and if you want, what we can do is we can play the Reach flight for a little bit, and then we can switch over to Halo 5 if you want, or we can do it the other way around. We can start out in Halo 5 and switch out to the Reach flight for the second half. So let me know what you guys want to do. If you guys want to do the Reach flight, I'll be more than glad to do that. If you want to just stay with Halo 5, I'll be glad to do that too.
Sounds like a plan. going to go ahead and start wrapping things up. First, I want to give a couple of quick shout-outs. One to Cindy Harperion, who's been a really good supporter from a podcast standpoint. And then he makes some really cool machinima. He's actually released some recent stuff. His latest project was Zenith, and that was released a couple weeks ago. So if you are, I think, it was, no, sorry, that's his latest project that he's working. But he's had like other couple of shorts released throughout as well. He helped out a lot with trying to kind of organize the machinima panel that I did during Outpost as well, trying to get other people involved with the panel. So just kind of want to give him a quick shout out there. And then also to Laird again for helping me with the Halo Wars achievements and getting those out through Definitive Edition. We've got our Spartan Company update for the commendations. We have 7076 out of 7300 for first kills of a match. So that's 224 away from that. Next closest one is killing an opponent by splattering them, and we are just under 600 away from that one. I have a feeling there might be a slight uptick with that for Castle Wars.
Might.
Slight.
Oh, amazing! Oh, amazingly enough, it's hard to get splatters in Castle Wars.
Depends on which map.
Because your teammates seem to get in the way.
Well, there is that too.
Like the blaring horns, not a clue to. It might have to come to that.
That'd be interesting as a customization feature if you could have a custom horn.
That would be
cool. That'd be a cool feature to add in Infinite.
Yeah.
It's something new, something not very intrusive. Michael Shore, if you're listening to this, that might be something you want to add. Okay. As far as our socials go, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We are also on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube for our live streaming of the shows and our live streaming of game nights. Those game nights happen at Friday at 8:30 p.m., hosted by GT, which we were just talking about. And then also I have my Sunday streams at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And right now I am going back through Halo Wars 2 with Bobby. And we'll probably get Laird wrapped in a couple of points too to go through the Halo Wars 2 achievements there. You can also find us in our Spartan company. Just head over to podtacular.com/company. Request to be enlisted and someone will get you in the team. And then we have our Xbox Club as well that you can join up on. Also, make sure you check out the Halo Hub. It's a little Discord that we have going on that's for anyone and everyone who wants to share content or just see what other people have to post content about. And then, like I said before, we're going to be looking for people to respond for the topic next week. And again, that is going to be what advertisement or promotional campaigns you would like to see done for Halo Infinite. GT, where can people find you on the internet?
You type in GT and I show up. No. You can find me on Twitter at Godzilla Todd, on Mixer at Godzilla Todd, or on Xbox Live at Godzilla Space T.
And as for me, you can find me at Duststorm on Twitter, Mixer, Twitch, at Duststorm Pettigrew on Instagram and YouTube, and at Duststorm117 on Facebook. Sucks when Duststorm is a pretty common username across a lot of different platforms. I have to get creative in a lot of places.
Imagine how it is for Godzilla.
Yeah. Well, at least you have Godzilla Todd in some places, which is not as difficult.
Yeah, when I first actually came up with that, I had to go through about 7 different iterations before I found one that worked.
Yikes.
When I did my original gamer tag.
Oh, jeez. That's crazy. One quick thing, too. I forgot to bring this up during the topics, and I just was looking through all my tabs and realized that I had brought it up. For anyone who's following the HCS 5 years of HCS, the quarterfinal round is over. Frosty defeated Royal 2, and Roy defeated Shotzi. So in the semifinals on the red side, we have Frosty versus Roy. And then on the blue side, Pistola beat out Miquin, and Lethal beat out Snipe Down. And for the blue side, it's Pistola versus Lethal. They have started putting the polls up, so go ahead and head on over to HCS, and you can start voting for who you think is the best of the semifinalists. And we'll see who reigns supreme next week. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yes.
Any final thoughts, GT?
Brain fried.
All right. Well, we'll catch some of you guys tomorrow for game night. And if not, we'll hope to catch you here next week or in our next download. Thanks again for listening. We'll catch you all next week. Keep on fragging them drugs.